And so, my friends, let's be encouraged by the word of God. Tonight's message, God's unbelievable love. Now, we believe it, or may we believe it, but it's so awesome. The best way to describe it is really just as unbelievable, even though it is, of course, truly believable. But it's God's unbelievable love. And I'm going to be looking tonight at the book of Hosea. That's the minor prophet Hosea. Just a tremendous book, a very, I don't know if I can say heartwarming. Sometimes it's gut-wrenching book. Okay, but really the book of Hosea depicts possibly one of the truest expressions of God's love for us. It follows the life of the prophet Hosea, who is commanded by God to marry an unfaithful wife, to showcase, in turn, God's love to the nation of Israel, who, of course, is committing idolatry. It's a very personal book. Hosea, in the book, doesn't just preach about God's unbelievable love. In fact, you might say that would be just too easy. In fact, Hosea exhibits God's unbelievable love by loving his unfaithful wife, his adulterous wife. And so in the book of Hosea, you know, the prophet pictures God, his wife Gomer, an adulterous wife, pictures Israel. And then by extension, you know, kind of pictures us, you know, and how we are, how fallible we are, how we fall short of the glory of God. And so as we look at the life and the ministry of Hosea, as we consider his marriage, you know, as we consider how Hosea must have felt, consider how God feels about us. And may we all believe and just go, wow, over God's unbelievable love for you and I. And so the book of Hosea, it's, yes, it's, from one standpoint, we can say it's a tragic book. Poor Hosea, you know, he went through the ringer when it came to marriage and family, ungodly wife and ungodly children. A wife of whoredoms, the Bible says, and children of whoredoms, they did not follow dad, they followed mom. And so, yes, that's heartbreaking. But the book of Hosea can also show the amazing and beautiful love of God to us, pictured by Hosea to his unfaithful wife and family. And so let's go to Hosea chapter 1. We'll start there, and then we'll ask God's blessing on the message. But Hosea, Joel, Amos, my kids and I, we've been going through the books of the Bible every morning. It's been a blessing to us. So after Daniel, you'll find Hosea. He's the number one out of the 12 minor prophets. Hosea chapter 1. Let's go to verse 2. We'll start there. And the word of God says, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. Let us pray. Abba, Father, what a blessing to be in thy house even tonight. And so, Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness, Lord, your mercy, your goodness to us. Thank you, Father, that even with the petitions of prayer that we've already asked, that we can just trust in you in all things, that we lean wholly in you, your perfect will. And so, Father, we know that no matter what happens, all things work for good. And so, Father, we cherish that promise. And we rest on that promise. And now, Father, help us to rest on your word and your precious, your amazing, your unbelievable love. Thank you, Father, for the prophet Hosea. Lord, thank you for his testimony, his faithfulness, his obedience to you, Father. And but truly, the love, your love, that he showcases in what you had for him. Father, we thank you for your love to us. Help me, Lord, to just appreciate it as best as I can, and to be constrained by your love. We give you all the praise. Holy Spirit of God, move these lips of clay that you will bless us tonight as we hear from heaven on high. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. And by the way, Hosea, what a name. Now, I don't know if his dad, and you know, we read about his dad in verse 1, Beri, I guess, Beri. So I don't know if his dad knew his son would be a prophet when he named him, and Hosea was just but a baby. But he certainly picked a godly name for his son, right? And the name Hosea literally means, you know, in the Hebrew, Yahweh saves, okay? Salvation. Hosea, Yahweh saves, salvation through only through Jehovah. And then considering just how, you know, spiritually bankrupt Israel was, Northern Kingdom is where he ministered to, Hosea did. Considering how sinful Israel was as a nation at the time when Hosea was, you know, was born, it is very commendable that his dad would call him Hosea. You know, he could have called him something else. I'm glad he picked a godly name. Perhaps his dad was a God-fearing man. Perhaps dad was really praying that God would use his son, you know, to bring revival to Israel, maybe, you know. However, whatever the circumstances surrounding Hosea's name, it's probably safe to say that his dad didn't think God would use him, Hosea, the way that God does, you know. And every parent wants the best for their child, right? You know, and every parent wants their child to have a, you know, have a good job, have a successful career, you know, marry a wonderful spouse, okay? Yet God commands Hosea to marry a woman. Her name is Gomer. And the way that it's worded, you know, either she was already a harlot at that time, or that she would be a harlot after they would marry. It doesn't quite, you could kind of go either way on that. Actually, I don't even know which is worse, okay? But the bottom line is, God tells him ahead of time, before that they get married, that she will be unfaithful to you. I want you, Hosea, my prophet, my man of the hour, to marry this woman, and she is going to cheat on you, she is going to leave you, she is going to not love you back, and she is, she's going to be unfaithful. Got it? Now marry her. Okay, and so the idea, of course, is to picture God's love to Israel, even though Israel went a-whoring spiritually in the sin of idolatry with all the heathen gods. It's going to picture God's love to Israel, because God is going to love Israel no matter what, just as Hosea is commanded by God to love his wife no matter what. Okay, and so this is huge, because again, Israel, you can, you know, really picture us, you know, and we can see the application there. And may we be just blown away and astounded by how much God loves us. Okay, the book of Hosea is about how much God loves us. I can't imagine telling my children to marry someone unfaithful. I mean, I'm like, yeah, child, you know, daughter, son, I'm praying that, you know, God sends someone unfaithful your way. I mean, what? No, who would do that? What parent would do that, right? I can't imagine intentionally choosing to marry someone that will be unfaithful to you. Yet that's exactly what God told Hosea to do. And not just that, but Hosea is told that even his children would follow in mom's footsteps. You know, he will have an unfaithful wife and an ungodly children. That's the package deal. And so why would God do this? Again, is to show us. Now, we get to spectate and see this. Hosea had to live it. But we as bystanders, we get to see God's unbelievable love for us played out in Hosea's supernatural love to his wife. You know, and truly to show God indeed saves us. By his grace, by his love, in spite of ourselves. And so by seeing Hosea's personal story, which is kind of behind the scenes of God's love. I mean, this is such a tender, down-to-earth, relatable story. Hopefully it helps us to appreciate God's love a little bit better. So number one, the story of Hosea shows us unrequited love. Am I saying it right? Unrequited. I used to think it's quitted, but it's quieted. I had to look it up online. How do I pronounce this? American way, it says unrequited. In other words, love that is not reciprocated and paid back. Am I saying it right? Requited? Yep. And so it shows God's unrequited love. Requited, of course, to pay back proportionately, typically in the context of affection. You love someone, they love you back. You do someone a favor, they do it back to you. You do a good deed, they do it back to you. You know, the Bible says children are to requite their parents, right? For that is good and acceptable before God. It's 1 Timothy 5:4, to pay them back. And Hosea's love for his wife goes unrequited. She doesn't love him back. If you go to Hosea chapter 2 with me, go to verse 2. So this is sometime later. He's got three kids. They grow up. And so Hosea is pleading with them. And so come along with me here in verse 2, chapter 2. It says, plead with your mother. So he's talking to the kids. Plead with your mother. Plead, okay? Beg her. Maybe she doesn't like me. She doesn't love me. Maybe she listened to you kids, okay? Of course, it falls on deaf ears, okay? Because they are also children of whoredom. And they're going to follow where mom goes. They're going to follow. But he's pleading with his family. Plead with your mother. Plead. For she is not my wife. Neither am I her husband. Now, legally, they are, but practically they're not. So relationship, they got nothing. She is his wife. Don't get me wrong. She is his wife. He is her husband, but they have no relationship that is even remotely close to that. So that's what he's saying. It's as though they're not married. They got no relationship. They don't do anything together. she doesn't like me. We don't spend time together. She's never home. She never listens to me. On and on and on. So it's as though they're not married, even though they legally are in the eyes of God, but their relationship is where it's not, okay? And Hosea's a good guy. He's loving her, but she's not returning that love. Let her, therefore, put away her whoredoms out of her sight. Again, she is having affairs. She's, some would say, you know, the idea of prostituting herself, okay? And her adultery is from between her breasts. I mean, it is something that her heart seeks after. That's what she desires. And one of the most hurtful and painful things that humans can go through is unrequited love. That means you give everything. You give your heart and you invest everything in someone or something. In this context, someone. And then they don't return it. Okay, it's one of the most heartbreaking things. Little tongue-in-cheek here. I mean, I can joke about it now because I ended up marrying her. But when Gina sent me that we're just friends email, I was so heartbroken. I thought we had something going. And then she sent me that email. I don't know, we were doing things all together, all the time. And so I thought, hey, I got a pretty good streak here. And of course, she sent me that email out of the blue saying, oh, by the way, you know, we're just friends, right? Nothing's coming out of this. And I was just so heartbroken. I sang my tears away, and then I still cried. I went to a river, the river edge, this little outcrop of rocks there. I brought my guitar, sang all my sad songs. I'm very sentimental. I'm very worldly from that standpoint. And so I did that, cried my heart out, you know, and tried to collect myself together. But by God's grace, we got married. Amen. Praise God. Rest is history. But I'm just saying that's heartbreaking because I had given it all, and she said, nah, it's okay. I'm not into you. I'm like, oh. So all I'm saying is one of the most hurtful things a person can go through. Hosea, I can't even imagine, throughout their marriage, throughout the kids growing up, I mean, he's just been kind of holding it down. And really the downfall of many marriages is unrequited love, you know, where one spouse gives more than the other, one takes more than gives. And so it's just tough all the way around. In fact, if you go to verse 5, this is how bad it is between Hosea and his wife. Again, God and Israel, but also God to us. Okay, so look at verse 5. This is to showcase how unbelievable God's love is. Okay, so verse 5, for their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. And so, you know, she's completely abandoned Hosea. They're married only legally. They have a marriage certificate, but that's all they have. They have no relationship. All her necessities are provided by, in her mind, by her lovers, though that she's having affairs with. Which, by the way, seeking after bread, water, wool, flax, oil, in and of itself, it's not bad. Those are needs to, you know, sustenance, food. It's not bad to seek after that. It's just how we do it. In this case, it was very bad. Okay, and so the idea is, just a reminder, by the way, never make a decision that will take you away from God or that will make you do less for God. Chances are that's not God's will and that's not a good decision, okay? Never do it. Make a decision that will make you serve God less, take you away from Him, His Word, His house, His book, or will make you do less for God. Chances are God does not want you to do that. And of course, that's why that's so important for us to pray. Pray for God's will to be done. Pray, God, if it's your will, open this door. But that's huge. And what had happened was, if you notice how, boy, this is even hard to preach on, how just Gomer, her relationship with all these lovers, it's not just a extramarital affair, okay? This is not just an extra relationship outside of her relationship with Hosea. This is her only relationship. She's got no relationship with Hosea. It's not as though she's got some relationship with Hosea, and then she just adds on this, you know, adulterous relationship. It's her only relationship. She's got nothing going on with Hosea. And it's not just a want. What she's doing with all these other lovers, it's become her need. Because this is how she gets her necessities. Okay, don't miss this. Her bread, her water, her wool, her flax, her oil, her drink. She gets this from what she's doing. And so it's a wicked want, but it's really morphed into a wicked need. It's not just a sinful want. It is a core need that she has. Okay, so she's really gone down as far as morality, spirituality, and she's living a life of whoredom as God had said. And so, number one, the story of Hosea shows God's unrequited love. But number two, the story of Hosea also shows God's unrelenting love, because what happens is Hosea, through all this heartbreak, he still loves Gomer. He doesn't give up on her. Praise God, God doesn't give up on us. And he pursues her. His love compels him to pursue her. Let's go to verse 6. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. The idea is Hosea somehow would set up barriers or obstacles to prevent Gomer from indulging, you know, in her sin. Of course, in the larger sense, it pictures God, who would do the same to Israel. Israel wants to sin this way, he'll make it fail. Okay, so they can't do that. They might be upset that their plans are foiled, but God is intentionally foiling their plans so that they don't go off the deep end, right? So God is saving them from themselves, right? And then that's the idea here. You know, and you think of the famine back in the New Testament with the prodigal son, the famine that came when the prodigal son had wasted his substance in riotous living. Who sent that famine? God did, right? And what was the purpose of that famine? To draw the prodigal son back, right? And so God would foil their attempts to sin even worse. In fact, let's go to verse 7. The word of God says here, and she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them, okay? And so she wants to go after them, but somehow God foils her attempts to do that, okay? He frustrates her attempts, or Hosea does Gomer. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Like, hey, where did my lovers go? And then she can't find them, thankfully. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband. For then was it better with me than now. The idea, of course, is God can make our wrong choices hurt sometimes, so that he compels us to make right choices. Okay, and so that's kind of a good reminder, you know. And so sometimes if things are hurting too much, maybe I should take a step back and, Lord, is this your will? Lord, am I missing something? Maybe you're putting things in my path to save me from myself, so I don't make wrong decisions. But again, the story of Hosea shows God's unrelenting love. He continually pursues Israel as Hosea continually pursues Gomer. Even he doesn't give up on her. He doesn't throw in the towel. He doesn't, again, under the law of Moses, which they were living then, he could certainly have written a bill of divorcement. He doesn't do that. And so he's sticking with it. Someone give Hosea Husband of the Year award kind of thing. You know, he's just sticking out with his wife. He loves her. He prays for her. And then number three, the story of Hosea shows God's unrecognized love. God's unrecognized love. And so the idea is, ever do something sacrificial for someone and they don't even notice? Will we stop doing it after a while if they don't even care or don't even notice that we're doing it? Well, Hosea didn't stop. If you look at verse 8, look at this. Now, this is kind of mind-blowing here for me to kind of imagine how it actually played out. But look at verse 8. For she did not know, Hosea is saying this, for she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil. And so while she had left him and was living, never came home, mom's gone, weeks on end, who knows, and he's you know, heartbroken over her, Hosea, being a good husband, still does what he can to provide for her needs. And so maybe he goes up to one of her lover's home that she's at, maybe he knocks the door, and her lover answers the door, and maybe he says, here, I have some corn, some wine, and some oil for Gomer. And then maybe the lover just scoffs at Hosea, takes it, shuts the door in his face, and goes back to Gomer. And Gomer says, who's that? And he goes, oh, no one. By the way, Gomer, this is for you. And Gomer goes, oh, thank you, lover. I mean, I don't know. Okay, I'm just saying, he somehow provided for her, even though she was away from him in adultery, and she got it and did not know it was Hosea that was doing it. The idea is, even when Israel was in sin and idolatry from God, God still sustained them. They didn't think it was God. They thought it was, hey, we're praying to this new heathen God and we got good crops. No, that was God who did it. He's just merciful to you. And they didn't know it was him. Just as Gomer maybe gave credit, you know, incorrectly to her lovers for providing what she wants. Okay, like in maybe verse 5. Maybe there's a correlation there. But the idea here is Hosea gave it. She received it not knowing it was him. Okay, but he does it anyway. And not only does Hosea provide for his wife that doesn't get recognized at love, he also provides not just her needs, but even her wants. In fact, look at this. And multiplied her silver and gold. And so maybe Hosea comes and he's, you know, he's got some gold. He's got some silver. Says, well, I've been working really hard. And this is what I saved up. He gives it to the lover. And the lover says, here, Gomer, I got you some gold and silver. And of course, the lover gets the credit. Hosea, his love is unrecognized. And not only that, what do they do with that silver and gold? Which they prepared for Baal. So what they got from Hosea, it's unrecognized love, and they take it and they worship Baal. This is kind of nuts here. The idea is this is to show us how much God loves us. He knows that I fall short. He knows that I sin, yet he blesses me. And even then, what he has blessed me with, I take it and worship self or the world in this, you know, in this context here. But he loves us. He loves us so much. And yet through it all, Hosea still loves Gomer. Of course, God still loves us. Again, the idea of God's unbelievable love. Look at chapter 3 now. And so sometime later, well, no surprise, Gomer has fallen on hard times. And because of her promiscuous life, just kind of selling herself, she ends up essentially a slave or a servant that needs to be bought. Okay, she's become property to this extent, possibly because of her harlotry. Okay, she's got different owners. And so look at what God commands Hosea to do. Okay, he's going to have Hosea redeem Gomer back to himself, and he should not even need to do that because she is his wife. Okay, and so he's really going the 10th mile here. Okay, but let's go to verse 1 of chapter 3. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet, meaning still, yet love a woman beloved of her friend, her lovers, yet an adulteress. So she's not as though she's repented, she's still in her sin. And she's still unfaithful. But notice how God tells Hosea to love her. According to the love of the Lord. Hosea, I want you to go and love your wife according to my love. The love of the Lord toward the children of Israel. Who look to other gods and love flagons of wine, drunkenness, reveling. And so God is setting the example, but he wants Hosea to live it, to show it. What does Hosea do? Look at this boy. Such obedience and such love. Look at verse 2. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver. So he redeems his wife. And she can come back to him. He frees her from whatever debt she might be in. And by the way, the 15 pieces of silver, that's about half of the standard price of a servant. If you read in Exodus 21, it's 30 pieces of silver. The idea is she's so worthless at this point that even her masters are like, oh, Gomer, half. She's not even half a servant. I mean, so no one cares for her. They just abuse her. The only one who loves her is Hosea, whose love was unrequited, whose love was unrelenting, whose love was unrecognized. But here, we'll see that his love, God's love, is also unceasing. So that's amazing. And so he says, so I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for an homer of barley and a half omer of, so omer and a half of barley. And I said unto her, so here's the invite. Here's his plea. Thou shalt abide. And abide in the Bible is a forever term. It's like stay, but forever. So abide, dwell. Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. so will I also be for thee. He's taking her when she's yet in her sin, and he's essentially renewing his wedding vows to her. You be faithful to me, hun, and I'll be faithful to you. After all this abuse, after all that heartache, after all that unrequited love, his unceasing love, this is what he has, of course. And then we know the story. I mean, you know, the idol to Israel, not yet. They get captured by Assyria, and that's the end of, you know, but God is going to call them back, okay, at the millennial reign of Christ, okay. But the idea is God's unbelievable love to you and I. That is just mind-blowing. Again, pictured through Hosea here, how he relentlessly pursues his wife and loves her no matter what, provides for her, even though she's not caring. This is God's love for you and I, my friends. May we be reminded, may we be encouraged, may we be blessed for how much love God has for us. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Abba, Father, what just a mind-blowing example, Lord, of just your love for us. Help me to truly appreciate how much you love us when there's really nothing in me to love, that you chose to love us, Lord, and to redeem us to thyself. And Father, may we be found faithful to you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise.